So I just want to open up in prayer before I share the Word of God with His people. Lord, you say when two or more gather, you are in the midst. And Lord, it does not matter if there is two people or 30 people or if there is 1,000. If there is 1,000 and the Spirit is not there, then I would not want to be there. Lord, just as Moses spoke, he said that if you do not go, I will not go. But Lord, wherever you go, I will go. And Lord, your Spirit is present here, Lord. And so wherever your Spirit is here, Lord, we don't have to invite you because you're already here, but we welcome you. Lord, would you provide the words that are being spoken today to penetrate and to cultivate into your children's hearts today, through their heart, into the minds, and vice versa, Lord. Would it be something that's challenging to them, Lord, that they can apply throughout the week and going forward? And would you receive all the glory? Would you hide me behind the cross? In Jesus' name, amen. So the message, the title of the message today, The Call to Love Others. And as Amy has just read in the English version, I actually want to read it one more time in the NIV version because there's a few little things compared to that one, and I didn't provide the NIV version. So the parable of the Good Samaritan, verse 25 says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him," Jesus speaking, "'what is it written in the law? What is it that you're reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said," gave a parable, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him into an inn and took care of him. And on the next day he departed. He took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these do you think was the neighbor who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." John 13:34 says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." So a lawyer, who is probably a Pharisee, approaches Jesus and ask him, "How do I get eternal life?" Since Jesus is talking, so he wants to test Jesus and justifies himself by his good deeds. Since Jesus is talking, he meets the man where he is at by going straight to the law. "And based on the law, what do you think the answer is?" he replied. And the man says, "Love the Lord your God with everything I have and love my neighbor as myself." Now, this might have been an attempt to avoid loving others. So my question to you, those in the room today, how many of family members that you have that are annoying, you avoid to avoid them? You attempt to avoid them during certain family meetings, especially holidays. So the man's quoting Deuteronomy 6:5. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Then he continues with another verse, Leviticus 19:18. "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So as we read, Jesus paints us a story, a parable about a man who is attacked when he takes a dangerous journey through an area known for thieves and robbers. And I don't think we have the picture, but do we have a picture of a mountain? No, we don't. Okay, rip. If we did, which I had and I didn't send, there's this picture of Cyprus, which is the road that's the Samaritan road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And just imagine this windy road up on these hills. And the journey is sometimes referred as the Bloody Way. It was notoriously known for its steep 4,000-foot descent through desolate rocky cliffs, which provided perfect hiding spots for thieves. And this would allow thieves to attack travelers and flee into the desert before they could receive any help. And interesting, I discovered was that if you chose to walk that path, it would take about 8 hours. But if you chose to drive it, depending on back then, it would take about 45 minutes today. So a priest walks past and won't lend a hand. A Levite walks past and ignores him. And interesting enough, both these jobs are to be mediators between God and man, but they choose not to extend God's help to the man in need. And so one of the questions I would ask is, how many times in our daily lives, whether it's today or it's been the weekend or even throughout a week, that we pass people without saying hello or saying hi or just asking, hey, and we see and they're struggling, how can I help you? 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth." James 1:22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." And salvation does not come by worldly means or service or serving or by being a good person, but it comes when you accept God's word into your own heart. 1 Corinthians 3:4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." This is Paul speaking. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." So what does this mean? In Revelation 3:20 it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." In Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So Jesus throws this shocking twist into the story, and a Samaritan stops to help. Now, Samaritans and Jews, they have mutual disdain for each other. Jesus paints the Samaritan as a good guy in this story, though. And if we have read in the Gospels, where you see in John 4:9, Jesus, the Jews do not associate themselves with Samaritans. And in the Gospel of John, Chapter 4 is where we see the Samaritan woman at the well with Jesus, and Jesus actually meets her where she's at. And she has to go into the heat of the day, where most women would go in the cool of the day, in the morning. But her being labeled as a Samaritan cannot be seen in public with other people. And so she's out in this heat of the day, and she meets Jesus, and Jesus asks, you know, ask about questions about her husbands, and he says, and the lady responds, "I have no husband." And Jesus responds, "That's true, you actually have five, but the one that you have currently is not your husband." And later on, they get to talking about the water, and the water is that if you knew who was asking for water, you would ask me. But the water that I give you, you would no longer thirst. And it just wouldn't be plain water, but it would be living water. And so, to furthermore, the word neighbor, as we've read in the scriptures, refers to everyone that you encounter, even your enemy. And in Luke 6:35, scripture says, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is the kind and unthankful and even. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is merciful." And for a moment, I want to share with you two stories from the past that kind of illustrate of when you do take that time to help someone who is in need. Just probably a month ago, living in this apartment, I was driving back home and I was into the apartment, garage basement, and I was walking by and I noticed, before I get to the elevator, there was this car that was parked by the elevator entry door, and these two people kind of walk past, and this lady is, her friend was once driving and then got out to help her, and this lady had this cast on, and she was easily, you know, returning back from the ER, hospital, whatever, and I just noticed that this couple walked by and asked if they needed any help or anything, and I first walked by, but then when I got in the elevator, this spirit is like, "Go back and ask her," and I was like, "Okay." So I approached her lightly with her friend, and I said, "You know, Miss, is there anything I can help you with?" And she was just being honest. She felt like she was nauseous, that she was just really, really sick. And so with me being in the healthcare, I was able to walk with her step by step and tell her this is what the next steps we're going to do. We're going to try to get you back to the second floor. And her friend really didn't know what to do. And so I was able to reassure her. And then when we got her back into her apartment, I was able to pray with her. And the next few days, I discovered that she no longer needed the cast that was on her leg and that she felt a whole lot better. And she just always said that, you know, "You're like an angel that God sent." Because there were many people who had walked past. And this other story I want to share was just a few years ago when I was a case manager, that's what it was, case manager during the day. And I was, remember I was somewhere in Stoughton and I was driving in the back roads, and this was my last house, my last visit for the day, and I remember driving past this black car, looked like this got into a motorcycle accident. And it was very hot, and there were some cops behind just talking. But I noticed, I thought I saw someone in the vehicle itself. And so I drove past, and I heard this voice, and it says, "I want you to go back there. I want you to pray for that person." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm only like 1 mile away. I'm going to focus on this visit, but I'll pray right now." And the Lord was like, "I want you to go pray in person." I was like, "Okay, Lord, how about this? After this visit, if the person's still there, I will pray." And so it was like obedience / disobedience. No matter what, delayed obedience is still disobedience. So at the very end, I get done with the visit, and I come back, and he's still there. And so I started to pull over, and I approach the gentleman. The cops are no longer there, so he must be waiting for somebody. And I approach him and I knock and I share with him and I say, "Hey, it's, you know, my name is John. I felt like I was just to pray with you." And so I asked him, "Can I pray with you?" And he just started crying because he felt like he was all alone and he just got in this accident, and that he was talking about he needed prayer for his children and his wife and with the finances. And so I was able to lay a hand on him and just pray. And man, I tell you, the vulnerability with God's people and to be able to share love with him that day. I got in the vehicle, and then the Lord spoke again and said, "I want you to give him your water." I said, "Okay." So I go back and give him some water. And I said, hey, I know you're going to be here for a while maybe, but I want to give you some water because you have none. I go back in, and the Lord says, I want you to give him your sandwich. I'm like, Lord, this is my lunch. Give him the apple as well. I'm like, oh, gosh. So I do, and then he's like, bro, I am hungry. Like, thank you. And I'm like, yeah, you're welcome. And so it's just when you have the opportunity to put away your own agenda and your time and to share love with God's people, God does show up. And so the Samaritan has many things in common with Jesus. They both have a mixed lineage. They're both rejected and despised, yet compassionate toward the hurting. And they both pour out wine and oil. For Jesus, these symbolize his blood and God the Spirit. They both paid the price for healing and rest, and they both promised a return. The Good Samaritan did not only represent a good and beautiful thing, but represents a temporary thing pointing to eternal reality, and that Jesus is showing what he has done. In 1 John 4:9, it says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only Son begotten into the world, that we might live through him. In John 13:35, it says, by this, they will know you, that if you love one another, you will know you as my disciples if you love one another. And lastly, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, he died for us. And so, as I want to end with an opportunity to respond, an opportunity to apply to our lives, we must realize that we cannot go and do likewise, as Jesus said, with our own strength, but the strength that he gives us. We cannot earn our way to heaven by being a good person, by worldly services, but by accepting God's word into our heart and realizing that we are once that beaten man and Jesus was the one that saved us. And so I'm going to step aside for a moment. If this message has resonated with you and there's someone in the room today that does not know Christ, I want to give them an opportunity. And there may be a lot of people who know Christ, and I want to pray for them as well. But for those who are in the room today, possibly, that do not know or they second guess if they're truly saved, and that if they were to meet God in heaven and God were to ask them, why should I let you in? They would have a response. And so if that is you today, and just with your own words, or you can repeat because someone once helped me say these words, is that, Lord, I come to you today. I am a sinner. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that I need a Savior in my life. Would you be that Savior in my life, Lord? Would you forgive me of my sins that I have committed in the past, Lord? And would you make them as white as snow? Would you be the Lord of my life, my friend? And would you come into my heart, God, and save me? Allow me to look like you, walk like you, and talk like you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to pray for those who do know Jesus, have a relationship with him, but are seeking more, who may have be sitting in the second seat about self, but want to have an opportunity to invite them into the first seat, and that's the kingdom seat. And so if that is you today, just open your hands as you're receiving a blessing from the Lord. And with your heart, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for how this message has spoke to me today, Lord. There's some passage, Lord, something in the message that was just beating at my heart. Lord, I want to put away my selfish desires, Lord. I want to stop thinking about myself, Lord. Lord, I want to be your hands and feet, Lord, just as the Good Samaritan, just as that Samaritan stopped and helped the beaten man on the road, Lord. You were once that man, Lord, who helped me when I was beaten. And so, Lord, sometime this week or even today, would you provide an opportunity where, Lord, I can share the love of Jesus with somebody. Pope Francis of Assisi said once, there are four gospels. There are actually five. But the fifth gospel is you and how you live your life. And so whether you provide an opportunity today to penetrate our hearts, to be able to pour the love of God onto your children, in Jesus' name, amen.